Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
You sure are. And today we're going to talk about sustainable donations or how not to get taken when you're giving.
Well, that would be good.
That's
although
right.
I know it happens.
Mm-hmm. So what started this discussion is we were talking about the big donators at this time of year. You know, you go to Goodwill, you give them stuff, you give money to Salvation Army, or you give them stuff. And is that the best thing to do? You know, that's kind of how we got started on this. So I guess I'll ask you, Annie, is that the best thing to do?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us here.
That's right. No, but the one thing that occurred to me when you were saying all that is I was thinking how, and just not to seem like I'm a snot or anything, but I find it incredibly irritating and also disrespectful to people in general when they have like these giving trees and all these programs to give stuff during the holidays, when in fact, people in need, if they truly are in need, and I'm not saying they're not, have 12 months of the year that they're in need, and they don't need to have stuff like, you know, I don't know, things that have no purpose.
Sure.
And one of the things that I've often said back in the days when we didn't have much, you know, we made things for each other. We played games. We did all kinds of cool things that made the holidays lovely. And our children remember that about that. They don't ever remember what they got for
and
Christmas.
And we walked to school uphill both ways.
No,
I mean, the days were long. But one thing I find, because
this is modern times.
I know. Well, you're talking about feeling like when you see this holiday giving, you know, like Christmas is the only time people have needs. I don't mind looking like a heartless cad. You know, I find it annoying walking past the bell ringers. You know, it's like running a gauntlet of charitable giving every time you go into a store. When you're checking out at a restaurant, do you want to give a dollar to this charity?
Yeah, in the name of Staples. So Staples can give $1 million to somebody and say, we raise this money.
I know. I always want to go to them when they say, will you give, you know, a dollar to St. Jude's? And I was like, no, but will you give $5 to the charity of my choice? I'll make sure it gets there. Don't, I mean, trust me.
Well, that's kind of snotty. The clerk can't help that she's or he's the representative.
I know, but it's still annoying. I mean, on the one hand, if I asked them, it would be like everybody be taken aback saying, what the heck are you doing? But they ask me and it's perfectly fine and normal. Why should I trust that the money I'm giving them is actually going to go to the place where they say it's going?
Yeah.
And that gets into the whole thing of the large corporations, you know, Salvation Army, not only is it an evangelical church, you know, so if you want to give money to them, understand you're giving money to a...
Well, they're going to take a certain percentage of that back to their church.
Right. It is a fundamentalist Christian sect, essentially.
Yeah.
Or Goodwill. I mean, these are all large corporations.
Well, they're not religious.
No, they're not religious.
But they used to be a nonprofit. So
let me finish my thought, though. They are a large corporation and have all the baggage that goes along with large corporations.
Okay.
They have other agendas. They have high salaries for their CEOs. They have all of these things. That's all fine and good if you understand that, but you just need to understand that.
Right. Well, I think we need to understand more than that. We need to understand that they have policies that are counter to everything that sustainability is about, and policies that have to do with how they pay wages and how they skirt around the law to pay horribly low wages in some cases. Also, how they are able to discriminate and claim that it's legal to discriminate against people.
And we're painting with a broad brush. So let's say some of these organizations have...
Well, I was speaking about Salvation Army and Goodwill.
Yeah.
But so you're right in that what we need to do, which is what we talk about every single episode, I think, of our program, is to say, look, what is it about giving locally, about donating, volunteering, participating locally that's really going to have an impact? Because if you think about it, to just give money to that bell ringer or the Goodwill or to drop things off, you're just being lazy because you haven't bothered to say, I'm donating something that's going to be generated into cash for this organization or create some kind of goodwill for this organization. Do I really want to promote their agenda? Do I really want to promote their mission statement? And most of the time it's going to be no if you're really into sustainability. But there's tons and tons and tons of things that we can do that really would make us feel good about ourselves. And in some cases, we don't even have to have time to do it.
Okay, so instead of us being Debbie Downers, let's talk about the nice thing. I'm going to be a Debbie Downer and say, you know, every charitable organization is corrupt. And we're not going to say that. What we're saying, though, is because you don't have control over these large corporations, you do have control over local. You can walk in and say, hey, Joe or Jill, I don't like what you did. You know, and maybe
or don't
have an
give
impact.
Or don't
give
participate.
To them. Yeah,
so I wanted to talk about all kinds of things, not just if you had money to give or things to give, or you have time or you don't have time, or you have resources or you don't have resources.
Okay.
So some of the obvious ones are really something that seems like no-brainer. So, for example, you could visit elderly in a local assisted living or nursing home.
Okay, so here you're talking about giving time.
Well, you could do a lot of things. You could participate in a variety of ways. You could provide music. You could visit. You could underwrite something for them, a special program or some food or something.
Or they may need your stuff as well if you've got old clothes or old,
I don't know about that.
Maybe. You can check with them. Check with them. Like your domestic violence shelters, you used to receive donations of clothes.
Right, but I was talking about nursing at homes and assisted living. So we'll get to that. Yes.
Okay.
Lots of places need clothing.
They'll need bibs and towels, right?
So. Well, you're just really, really aching for it. So anyway, also, you could volunteer if you are so inclined at a local church or mosque or a place of worship, a religious institution, for a lot of things. They need people to decorate for different seasons of the year. They need people who can clean up after events or their services. They sometimes need grounds work, so like in the spring, cleaning up and planting flowers. Or maybe they have events like yard sales and things like that, or building maintenance. So these are all skill sets that lots of people might have that they could go and make friends and really meet people at a different level than just going there on a certain time of the week. Also, gently used clothing is needed by every single battered women's shelter, by every single teenage halfway house or homeless shelter. They also need games and things that can be entertaining. Most people that end up in those places are starting over, so they may have nothing.
Well, I would also probably suggest that you contact them first and see what they do need. Don't just drop off on the front porch a whole pile of...
Well, you probably don't even know where it is, but you're right about that. Is that that would be a place to start with any of this, is to find out what's needed and then decide what you can do. Because particularly now with the homeless and it's winter in some areas where it's bitterly cold and bad weather. And so there's a huge need, but you might not think about the fact that, okay, so maybe people need, you know, clothing or coats, but there are other things that are needed around foodstuffs and warm foods and things like that. So it's important to just educate yourself a little bit.
Well, that sounds like the theme of what you're getting at. This is not drive-through donations.
No.
This is something that requires some thought, some research,
some
time, you know. I mean, it's actual charity work, which, you know, I would rather just take my old crap I don't want and drop it off in a box somewhere.
Well, and also what happens sometimes is people drop off stuff that is, you know, soiled or stained or whatever. Just because you're homeless or you end up in a place where you're seeking sanctuary doesn't mean that you should be treated in that way. Just throw it away. You know, there's no point to that. But there's all kinds of things that are needed in these different groups. You could become a mentor to a student at a local school in your city or town, or volunteer to help kids expand their reading skills. This is one thing I'm constantly amazed at, is that lots and lots of people who are past their years of working for a paycheck, say they're lonely and they don't have anything to do. And then I look over at the schools and I see all those kids that need a mentor, that need help with different kinds of things, even just in how to be a human being. And I, I can't understand the disconnect, but that's a whole nother program.
I think you ought to be prepared, though, in some of these situations to have to really push past the bureaucracy. And because you may go down to your school and say, I want to volunteer. You'll never hear back. You know,
Some schools don't want volunteers.
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be in. Or you might have to go through an FBI background check or who knows what.
Well, you do have to get fingerprinted in most states. But here's the thing. You don't have to do this just at a school. There are a lot of after-school programs. There are lots of daycare kind of programs that really do need nice people to come and help kids to grow up and learn skills. You could also help out if you're into sports. There are thousands and thousands of sports programs in every little town and big town, and they need people who are patient and have some skill sets to work with the kids. And so there's really no reason why not to do it. And even if you just do something like give them a check so they can buy their little shirts that are all the same, if that's all you can do, or show up and be in the crowd and yell and cheer and follow the team. Mm-hmm. These are all no-brainers, but, you know, it seems like people don't think about it. A lot of community-based organizations, and again, we're not talking the Salvation Army. We're talking locally run and owned groups. Have needs for special talents, also clerical skills, so you can volunteer to work in the office, help with decorations. Maybe they have events that they need help with. Oftentimes, they're a really fun group of people to be with because they're all, as we like to say, do-gooder, and they want to write the right things to happen, and it's a great place to make friends.
Right, and if you're interested in it, chances are they're interested, and those interests create a...
That's something in common. Mm-hmm. Giving blood. You know, the American Red Cross calls our house every month with some
new... Yeah, I made the mistake of...
No, that's not true. You give blood often, and you like to do it.
Right.
But
it's a free physical. What the heck?
Well,
And cookies.
It didn't feel like that to me. Anyway, so
I have more blood to give than you do.
Yes, you do. That was the whole point. But it's not for everybody. And I think it's not for me. It didn't work out for me.
But there were a number of things in the list that you had prepared, which I thought were interesting, because it's like giving bits of your body. I mean, giving blood, you had about donating hair, you know.
You would have to learn ahead of time. You can look up online if you wanted to find out what groups are collecting hair, and then you go to the right hair salon where they cut hair, and if you have 8 inches or more of hair, and I have done this before, they collect your hair, and then it goes to an organization that's making wigs or providing hair for people who've had cancer or lost their hair or have diseases that cause their hair to fail to grow.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's also just being an organ donor.
Yes, of course.
That's quite easy. Not necessarily sustainable. I mean,
you got to be dead to do it. But again, it's a good example of planning. So you do that when you get your driver's license or you have a special card you carry to be an organ donor. And that's an amazing thing to do. Very simple, costs nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you that it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
There you go. I woke you up. Thank God, Annie. It's the end of the world. So when we're saying, if it is the end of the world, let's give away all of our stuff sustainably, right?
I don't know what to say to that.
So far you're talking a lot about, we touched on giving away blood, hair, organs, you know.
Oh, that was really fascinating.
We've also talked about giving time, you know, volunteering. And it's that old, good old fashioned. I mean, this is what made this country great. People volunteering in their local community. Feels like we've gotten away from that. Some of that is the corporatization of charity. I mean, they don't want you to come in and take control. I mean, that's kind of the whole.
Well, there has to be order. But let's move on because there are some other ones that I think are good. The idea that you could invite foreign students that are at a local college or school.
Or even host a foreign student.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could do that. But even if you don't want to be that committed and do an exchange student or something, but you could invite them for the holiday and have come for a meal because they may have no place to go. And, of course, you'd have to contact the school. But almost any college, especially in a smaller community, is going to have foreign students that need some place to go.
Well, and my aunt used to do this with service people who were, you know, different for whatever reasons, could not get home for the holidays. But it's nice to go to somebody's home and, you know, have that experience. Usually it might be nicer than your home, you know, as far as your own relatives aren't there, so people are more polite.
But we found this in our own lives. You know, we've opened up our home, especially before we were living here, where people would come for the holidays. And we had one time we had somebody from Egypt. So that's worthwhile, but that's giving more of yourself than maybe some people want to do. But you also might have the Thanksgiving's coming up, or maybe there's another holiday in your family where you could make some cookies for all of your neighbors and take them around with a nice little note saying, thank you for being my neighbor. Again, this is more of giving of yourself. And you can donate your car or your boat or your recreational vehicle.
Or your neighbor's car.
Well, you might get
it. Clean up the neighborhood a little bit.
That I don't think you have to worry about making cookies for those neighbors after that. But then there are some really fascinating ones that honestly I never really thought about, other than the idea that you could participate in the national annual bird count. I always thought that would be fun, although it might require more patience than I have, but where people just register and then they go out and they spend a certain amount of time just counting the birds that they see. I think you might have to know what those birds are, but it's in the winter usually, so they're more limited, and I might know those varieties. But anyway, basically, there's a lot of stuff out there for the need to help scientists. So there are all kinds of really cool citizen science projects,
sure,
like counting fireflies in a certain time of the year on a certain day. They call them firefly spotters. Oh, I think I would love to do that.
That seems highly inaccurate.
Keep
your light on and stay still, okay?
No,
I'm trying to count here.
I don't think so. I think they have some kind of a form that you would hold up and you take pictures, and then they're able – mister.
Uh-huh.
Get your little firefly butt over here so I can take your picture. What's your name? All right. That's what you would do. But I think the scientist has a specific way that they're able to measure them. Also, they call it astrophotography, where you take pictures of the night sky at certain times of the year and in certain ways that helps whatever citizen science project that is to be able to determine whatever it is they're looking to determine. But there are hundreds of these kind of programs that you can find online. And if you're interested in the annual bird count, all you have to do is go online and look up the Audubon Society, and it'll be right there. I think it happens around Christmas time. So it's a pretty cool thing. This one, the next one, volunteer your computer's idle time. Now, when I first saw that, I thought to myself, oh, yeah, and we'll all have a virus. But there's a group called Berkeley Open Infrastructure Computing Project, called BOINC, for an acronym. And it uses the idle time of millions of volunteer personal computers to crunch data from big radio telescopes to find extraterrestrial life. Boy, I know people who would love that. And you can also use your computer's idle time to cure diseases, study global warming, discover pulsars. What are pulsars?
Pulsars are an astrological phenomenon where it's a highly intensive, it's a pulsing star, basically.
Okay,
it's
I love
a small
pulsing
rotating
stars.
In fact, they do a lot of, they're supposed to be the most easily, rhythmically, they rotate at a set time so you can gauge distance, you can gauge time. They even made those watches using pulsar
technology.
You're
my pulsing star.
I don't know if I like that.
And there are lots of other types of scientific research that BOINC is is involved in. And they also have a screensaver for Windows, and you can choose projects that you want to contribute to and the percentage of time that you want to donate to each of those projects. Mm-hmm. If you have a smartphone, which who doesn't these days, it would be an anomaly if you didn't. There's a group called Volunteer Match, which helps you find volunteer opportunities. There's some examples are First Aid Corps. They have a map that you can download that helps to them to figure out how many life-saving defibrillators there are across America. And so far, they've determined there are 400 and what those locations are. So if there was an emergency, so out where we live, where there's, you know, isolation, they might be able, you might go on there and say, like you would remember this or something, but, oh, I need a defibrillator today.
It's only 8 miles away. Let's go.
That's right. My goat needs to be shocked back into life. And where would I go get it? Yeah. Don't stop breathing yet.
That one strikes me that if it's not really handy, it's probably not very handy.
I don't know. I'd have to look up and see what the point of it was. But it seems mm-hmm. like it might be a good thing to know. One of the things that they've done with a volunteer match is working, they created a platform called Our Haiti Earthquake Response. And this is a really interesting concept because when a natural disaster happens, there are a lot of people that are misplaced and nobody, their relatives, their loved ones don't know, are they alive or are they dead? And in this case, they were able to take what the news agencies and aid organizations were streaming online, the photos, and they were able to put that out there and help people identify people that were in the photos. And they actually, in the Haiti disaster, they were actually able to identify something like 700 people that were still alive that nobody knew. And It seems like a really cool thing. So in a natural disaster, you know, even other people in the world get all hyped up about how to help and everything.
Sure.
So these are some good ideas.
And that's a good example where, you know, there is something that tugs at your heart, like the earthquake in Haiti or something. And you say, okay, I want to help out. Then you begin to say, am I going to be taken advantage of in my desire to help? And it sounds like social media and the internet and your technology is creating a multitude of ways of connecting kind of in the local vein.
That is
it's
right.
It's smaller. Mm-hmm. It's not got all the bureaucracy associated right. with it. Of course, there's always the risk of getting taken. You know, there's always charlatans who are going to jump out.
Why do you keep bringing that up?
Because that's the theme of this whole discussion.
Oh, well, that's true.
How do you, I mean, I'm kind of, okay, I'm keeping you focused.
Well, I'm not thinking about it that way because I'm thinking if somebody, for example, the next group, the Extraordinaires, and this is a group out of San Francisco, and they've grown quite a lot over the life of their existence over the last, I think, about 10 or 12 years. But their mission is to get people to volunteer whenever it's convenient. And again, there's going to always be people who take advantage. In a national disaster, people start just throwing stuff out, you know, like they get too many bottles of water or too many of stuffed animals or whatever. So these are opportunities to kind of streamline what happens and also maybe safeguard a lot of that being taken advantage of. But anyway, so they extraordinaire say you can be standing in line at the post office waiting for lunch date to arrive or halftime at the children's sports event and still be a volunteer. And they have an app. They say you can download the app, and all you need is decent cell phone reception. So there
okay,
you
well
go.
Okay, well, that rules us out.
Yeah, yeah. And their founder, which is Jacob Kolker, says it's micro-volunteering, and that's devoting idle moments to good deeds.
Okay, well, I'm already kind of going, seriously?
No, they've done a lot of cool
stuff.
This
is for people with a 20-second attention span.
Yes, it yeah. is. And that's what's cool about it, because it really is a way to appeal to younger people who maybe have not been involved in their life in giving to others or helping others. but they see things happen and they think, gosh, I'd like to do something. And so the goal of today's program is really to say there is something for everybody to give back in your local community. Absolutely every person. The only thing that's the problem is if you lack the will. So anyway, you can also donate charity miles. So there's a program, an app you can download with a group where you can, if you're a runner, and every mile that you run, and of course you keep track of that, then they donate a certain something like rice or money or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
What's their motivation there?
I don't know. Don't ask me to understand all of these.
I mean, if I go take a walk, I can understand people that I know wanting to pay if I took a walk. And
okay, my guess is they're collecting data. A lot of things are collecting data, but I'm just guessing. You can also donate photos. So they have different topics they're looking for, and you can donate photos that you can take. You can also walk for a dog. So you can
walk for a dog.
Although you could become a pet sitter or walk a dog as a way to get back, and so you walk for a dog, and there are these apps you can download, and they keep track of how far you've walked, and then they do certain things for different rescue programs for animals.
Okay, well, this is outside of my realm of. Understanding, but apparently there's a thing. One thing that occurred to me while you were talking about that is I wonder, there's got to be a thing. Let's say you have airline miles you don't think you're going to use, or you have other awards like that. There's got to be a way of donating those.
There are. And all you have to do is go online. Whatever it is you have that you think you can give, you go online and put that into the search, and you will find an app. You will find a group that will be happy, especially airline miles. Most any nonprofit would be thrilled to death to receive airline miles. But there's so much more. And I think that's why this program's particularly interesting to me, because we need to step outside of our comfort zone and think about what can we do to the larger community. We live in a time when people are really struggling, where the middle class has all but disappeared, and people seem to have kind of lost their way. They haven't learned empathy and the ability to do for others. It's about them. It's about what they buy, what they consume. And I think that one of the major happy points in my life have been when I have had trouble, what I call the brain flu, and I don't feel like myself and I'm low and I've expended too much energy or had a death of a loved one, that to do for others has helped me every single time. And I remember a man named Joe Gross, who was not really a very good person, but when his wife died, he had a very hard time of it. And he told me, you know what, I went down to the homeless shelter and I helped and I fed people, and every day I felt better. And in exchange, he got a loaf of bread, and that's what really made him feel better. But the point was, because he got something free, but the point was that to step outside of yourself for once in your life and do something that is about more than just you.
Okay, well, you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We want to thank our award-winning producer, Adam Rich, and we want to thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother volunteered to you years ago, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is?
Play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and do something for someone besides yourself.
All right. Till next time.
Mother Earth will sing and her children will be
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.